The armed rebellion against the Syrian government of President Bashar al-Assad, designated a civil war by the International Red Cross on July 15th, is now being fought in the nation's major cities, including the capital, Damascus. Although the death toll has now risen to an estimated 19,000, diplomatic efforts by the United Nations to broker a ceasefire have thus far failed. Eyewitnesses have reported that the regime's fighter jets have bombed areas of Syria's largest city, Aleppo. Journalists on the ground in Aleppo and Damascus say forces of the opposition Free Syrian Army have also been attacked by government helicopter gunships. In the week since a bomb exploded in Syria's national security headquarters in Damascus, killing the president's defense minister, his brother-in-law, and head of his crisis team, fighting around the country has escalated, prompting more than 10,000 Iraqi refugees to leave Syria. A series of bombings that killed 100 across Iraq on July 23rd has been attributed by some to a cross-border spillover of the inter-ethnic violence in Syria, pitting the nation's privileged Shia-aligned Alawite minority against the Sunni majority. While the U.S. and its allies have expressed concern about the security and possible use of Syria's alleged stockpile of chemical weapons, a spokesperson of al-Assad's government declared that any of his nation's unconventional weapons, if they exist, would not be used domestically, but only against foreign intervention. Your reporter spoke with author Ron Jacobs, who talks about his recent article, Syria Through the Looking Glass, which examines the geopolitical conflict now being played out in Syria's civil war.
Overall, I think the most important thing is that this is just one more phase, one more part of the ongoing attempt by the empire of Washington and Wall Street and its minions to try to control the Middle East, to try to control the world. Democracy in the United States is a selective thing, and it's really not so much the democracy that the United States is interested in as it is. They're more interested in what remains of the current form of capitalism, and capitalism by its very nature, I believe, and I mean, I think it's kind of like proven, needs to expand on some levels. It's trying to figure out what's going to happen in its next phase or if there will be a next phase. And it's not a conscious thing as much as it's just kind of how economics works. Washington really doesn't care about democracy in my mind, even in this country, but especially overseas. If you consider that the very same prisons that it's now calling out the Assad regime for torturing the people that the Assad military and police forces have captured during the uprising, those same prisons were prisons where the United States up until very recently, had suspects sent to in the rendition project so that they could be tortured off of American land and therefore create a type of what they call plausible deniability. Syria is a long way from democracy, and I don't think that when all of this is resolved, whether NATO goes in with air support or whatever, or whether they stay out and just do what they're doing now, which is supplying arms via proxy and providing intelligence and monetary aid, the democracy has got still a long ways away in Syria, and I'm not convinced that the United States really wants real democracy there.
In terms of a target here of the United States supplying various rebel groups in Syria with the means to wage war against the Damascus government, is it your view that the real target here is Iran, given that Syria is one of the few allies in the region that Iran has?
Absolutely, yes. I think that the United States, ever since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, the United States has feared what Iran can be, and they ramped it all up again when George Bush called out his axis of evil. Iran still is at the top of that axis of evil, that trinity of people opposed to the United States' desire for world hegemony. And I believe that that would clear the way for an attack on Iran, probably first Israel, then the United States, given its defense pact stepping in. I think that they're going to fight a battle. I think that's where they would rather fight the battle as opposed to giving away too much of the information in a battle with Syria, because Iran, in terms of potential enemies of the United States, is probably the most powerful, which is not to say that it's anything when you compare it to, you know, the most lethal military in the world. But given its location, its oil resources, and so on, if the government there is still something, as you well know, something the United States would like to see gone.
When you look at this conflict unfolding and the interests of the Syrian people, who do you view as the potential winners and losers in this conflict if the Assad regime should be overthrown in the short term? Do you think the Syrian people will benefit in any way?
I think it's too early to tell. I think there's just too much chaos. What I expect to see is something very similar to what happened in Iraq after the invasion of Iraq in 2003. I expect to see an upsurge in sectarianism. The biggest losers, obviously, will be the Assad family. Whether or not the Alawites, which is the tribal, you know, I don't know how much of it's tribal anymore, but which is basically his clan, the way the West tries to portray things. And it's more than that. They're also an incredible power base. Depending on which rebel group ends up at the top, will have a lot to say on what happens with Christians and other groups internally in Syria. I think externally, the nation that's probably will suffer the most will be Iran, because then all missiles will be aimed at Iran pretty much from both Tel Aviv and the U.S. Navy. I think the nations that will benefit the most will probably be Israel, because Israel will have gotten rid of one of its staunchest foes. I'm not sure how much Washington will benefit in the short run. I think in the long run, you know, barring some unforeseen catastrophic change, at least catastrophic in terms of what Washington sees, they'll probably benefit in the long run, because they'll ultimately figure out a way to get along with whichever government is in there, unless the Islamist extremists / Al-Qaeda types end up winning. But I don't see them being able to win. I see them more being able to cause, along with the variety of other groups that are going to be vying for power, if and when Assad leaves, I see them being able more to cause chaos, which benefits people who make weaponry, I guess. And it ultimately benefits the United States and Israel, because there's nothing certain in that particular nation.
That was Ron Jacobs, author of The Way the Wind Blew, A History of the Weather Underground, and the recent article titled Syria Through the Looking Glass. Find links to more news and analysis on the Syrian conflict on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.